Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chapter 19, Mahaprabhu visits the home of Vaitacharya in Shantipura. Text 73. This is the Dari Sannyasi replying to Lord Chaitanya. Hena bhujyeva sannyasi buddhadiyam laijaya brahmana kumarabhulayam. The Dari Sannyasi said, I don't know if he's saying it. He's thinking this. It appears that this sannyasi, this young sannyasi, which means Nittai, has spoiled this Brahmana boy's mind and is taking him away somewhere. Because Nityananda is about 30 years older than Lord Chaitanya, or 20 or so. And they're traveling together, so obviously he's older. And Lord Chaitanya is the one that told him he should just bless him with Krishna consciousness. So the purport is, on hearing Mahaprabhu establish the supremacy and necessity of bhakti, the Dari Sannyasi couldn't approve of it. He considered Mahaprabhu a crazy boy. And seeing Nityananda dressed as a sannyasi with Mahaprabhu, the Dari Sannyasi thought that Nityananda had deceived the Brahmana by polluting his intelligence, filling with all these devotional ideas and Vishnu Bhakti. Now he speaks. Sanyasi balaye hena kalase haila shishura gritiyami kichuna janila. Sanyasi said, the time has come when I appear ignorant before a child. Ami karilama jay prithvi pariyatan ayodhya matura maya badrika ashram. I have traveled throughout the world to Ayodhya, Mathura, Haridwar and Badrika ashram. Gujarat, Kashi, Gaya, Vijayanagari, Simhala, Gelama, Ami, Jata, Chipuri. I went to Gujarat, Kashi, Gaya, Vijayanagar, and Sri Lanka. Amija, Amina, Janila, Bhala, Mandahaya, Kai, Dugdera, Chayola, Aji, Amarai, Shikai. Yet I could not understand what is good and what is bad. Now this mere child, who is still drinking his mother's milk, is teaching me. This is Gauranga. He's about 20 years old. That's after he was initiated. His initiation was about 19 or 20. So I've gone everywhere, and now this child has come to teach me. Hasi bale Nityananda Shunaha Gosai Shishu Sange Tomara Vichari Karyanai. Nityananda smiled and said, listen, Gosai, there's no need to argue with a child. Ami se janiye bhala tomara mahima amare dekhiyami sabha karakshama. I know well your glories. For my sake, forgive all his offenses. So Nityananda Prabhu is offering respect to the Dari Sannyasi, who is actually intoxicated with material enjoyment. He's begging forgiveness. Apanara shlaga shuni sannyasi santoshe bhikshakari bare jhatta balaye harishe. When the sannyasi heard glorification of himself, he became pleased and immediately invited them for lunch. So he was a little disturbed at first, but then Nityananda is an expert diplomat. And so he made him feel good, say, oh gee, we're sorry, please forgive us. You're actually a great, great personality. I know you're glorious. In other words, I know you're a glorious materialist, totally attached to women and money and opulent house. And please forgive this kid, this Nimai. He's just a kid. So now they're inviting him for lunch, and you can imagine what kind of prasad that would be from the hand and such a personality. Nityananda bale karya gorave chaliba kichudeya snanakari patate kaibe. Nityananda said, we have to leave immediately for some important work. You may give us something that we can eat on the way after taking bath. This is the practice of madhukari, that one would bake some food from grihastha, sannyasi, mendicant, bhikshu, and then he would go to the riverside, sacred river, and or some river, and take a bath, and sprinkle water on that bhog, and then offer it to his deity, manasa, devata, and then he would take it, that foodstuffs. Sanyasi balaye snana kari ekane kichukai snigdahai karaha gamane. Sanyasi said, just take bath here, eat something, feel refreshed, and then go about your important work. Pataki tarite dui prabhu avatari rakilena dui prabhu sanyasi ragare. The two prabhus incarnated to deliver sinful living entities, so they agreed to remain in the sannyasi's house. So this sounds appropriate to your discussion. Janavira Majane, of course, if you're Chaitanya Nityananda, it may help a lot also. Or if they're enshrined in your heart, then all the best. Janavira Majane Guchila Patasham Palahara Karite Vasila Duijan. After getting relief from their journey by taking bath in the Ganga, the two Prabhus, Nittai and Gaur, came and sat down to eat some fruit. Falahara karite vasila duijan. So, because there's no karma in fruit. Dugda amra panasari kari krishna sat. Sheshe kaye dui prabhu sanyasi sakshat. First, they were offered items like milk, mangoes, and jackfruit to Lord Krishna. Then they sat down to eat before the sannyasi. So they stayed in that sinful person's house. Sinful person's house, not even devotee, sinful person. And they took some food, but only fruits. Vama pati sannyasi madira panakare nityananda pratita kare tare tore. The sinful sannyasi drank wine, madira pan. Making some signs to Nityananda, he spoke as follows. In other words, he offered some wine to Nityananda. He was extremely attached to drinking. He even indicated that Nityananda should also drink along with him. He repeatedly endeavored to get Nittai to join him. And he says there, Vamapati. And this is some Shastra says that such a person, a Vamapati or a Vamachari, their principal duty is to drink wine, eat meat, fish, enjoy sex, associate with women. Well, that would be obvious. Worship other women with the menstrual discharge of his wife, and take and distribute intoxicants such as wine. God knows what kind of worship that is, but that's some kind of extremely tantric, disgusting worship. He should mark his head with vermilion and meditate on his guru and worshipful deity while holding a container of wine in his hand.
Hi, Gurudev, Sri Guru Charanapada.
Well, a bottle of wine. It sounds like the early disciples of Srila Prabhupada in New York, the Bowery Bums. Of course, they were not initiated, but they would have a bottle of wine in their hands and whiskey as Prabhupada. And they would move aside and say, Swamiji, step right, go right to your artist in residence loft. And they were blocking the sidewalk on the way to his apartment. So they would hold their bottle and worship the guru of the universe. Of course, they didn't know that Prabhupada was their guru. He should offer prayers to the container of wine that he holds in his hand by reciting a mantra 5 times, followed each time by a drink of that wine. Then he should continue drinking until all his senses are agitated. Thereafter he should recite prayers invoking peace, such as a Shanti Stotra. So this is an incredibly interesting worship. I don't know if Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is having some humor here, or if he explains the whole sadhana for these wine drinking Dari sannyasis. That they get totally intoxicated and agitated and disturbed and completely unpeaceful. Then they start chanting some prayer that makes you peaceful. So now he says, Shunaha Sri Pada Kichu Ananda Aniva Tomahina Atiti Pakutaya Paiva. So he addresses Nityananda. Listen, Sripad, shall I bring you some Anand? Where else can I find guests like you? Deshantaraf Piri Nityananda Sabajani Madhyapa Sanyasihena Jani Lenamani. Since Nityananda had visited various places, he could understand that this person was a drunkard sannyasi. Because Nityananda went all over India on pilgrimage. So he has seen it all. So he knows what Anand is. Hey, you want some Anand? Want some ecstasy? Some kind of drug in the city is called ecstasy. Ananda aniva nyasi bhale bharabara Nityananda bhale tabe larase amara. The sannyasi repeatedly asked, shall I bring some Anand? Shall I bring some Anand? Nityananda said, we should go now. When Nityananda saw the Dari sannyasi's eagerness to make them drink wine, he said flatly, we have to go. Dekiya donhara rupa madana saman sannyasira patni chai judiya tiyan. On seeing the cupid-like beauty of the two lords, Nitai and Gaur, the sannyasi's wife watched them with full concentration. If you can understand what that means. Sanyasire nisheda karayetara nari bojanete kene tume viroda achari. She told her husband, why are you disturbing their meal? Because if he's disturbing them, so they're going to leave. And when they leave, then she will no longer be able to fix her eyes on the personification of Cupid appearing in double before her. Cupid Nitai and Cupid Gaur. Purport. Persons who have not married are fit to be called sannyasis or bhikshus. Those who are averse to sannyas disturb and contend with sannyasis by expressing a desire to establish that sinful activities like gathering women and snatching others' wives are approved by religious principles. In this case, however, the sannyasi's wife forbade her husband from entering into further conflict. Prabhu Bale, Kiananda, Bale Sannyasi, Nityananda Bale, Madira Hina Vasi. Mahaprabhu said, what is this Anand? What is this Anand the sannyasi is talking about? Nitai said, I think he's talking about wine. Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu! Vishnu Vishnu Smarana Karaye Vishvambhar Achamana Kari Prabhu Chalilas Satwar. Vishvambhar immediately remembered Vishnu. He washed his hands and immediately left that place. When Mahaprabhu understood that this cheating, sinful person who had usurped the title sannyasi was encouraging them to drink wine and supporting such sinful activities, he immediately remembered the Supreme Lord Vishnu, left his meal, washed his hands, performed achman, and while chanting Amrita Bidanam Asi Swaha, and then the two lords jumped into the Ganga. Harivo! Tai Gaur Premandi Hari Harivo! Dui Prabhu Chanchala Gangaya Janpa Diya Chalila Chaya Grehe Gangaya Bhasiya. After jumping into the Ganga, the two restless lords, Dui Prabhu Chanchal, went to the house of Dvaita by floating in the waves of the Ganga. We're just talking about going on the Ganga from Calcutta to Mayapur. So they went from the wherever they were down to Shantipur. Strena Madhyapere Prabhu Anugrahakare Nindaka Vedanti Jari Tadapi Samhare. Mahaprabhu bestowed mercy on womanizers and drunkards, but he annihilates blasphemers, even if they are well-versed in the Vedanta. An interesting point here in this preaching attempt, or not attempt, but this mercy that was given in the field of preaching by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda. They went to this drunken sannyasi's house, not this drinker, sannyasi, womanizer's house, But then as soon as they understand that he was trying to engage them, and they went there to free him and purify him and uplift him by proper preaching, proper siddhanta, reminding him of the path of bhakti and path of pure life. And he rejected their teachings by saying, oh, you're crazy. Somebody's done mantra, tantra on you. Tantric. So he rejected their positive offer of upliftment, and then moreover, he tried to engage them in his tamasic activities of sin. So that was it. That was no more chance. Even the Lord was taking food in his house and giving his darshan and his very wonderful shiksha, Chaitanya Shikshamrita. But he preferred to have the poison of liquor rather than the nectar of instruction. So Mahaprabhu's instructions were amrit. So that's why when he washed his hands, he chanted, amrita pidanam asi swaha. Pidanam means to drink nectar. Amrita pidanam. If he was being offered to drink vish, or poison, alcohol is poison. Drink enough of it, you die. You can't die by drinking nectar. It increases and enhances your life. So Lord Chaitanya left, immediately left the place, first of all, and they jumped in the Ganga to purify themselves. Ordinary people are intoxicated by material enjoyment, and they follow worldly morality, and they give more respect to impersonalists than to drunkards and womanizers. But the supremely independent Lord, who is most merciful to the living entities, does not approve of their consideration, which is born of external perception. In other words, someone may be a big impersonalist, like Vivekananda. When he went to Chicago, he was highly respected. The World Conference, World Religion Conference of Religion in 1893. But the Bowery bums and drunkards in New York City, East Village, when Prabhupada was there, people, oh, those dirt bums. But from the viewpoint of God, God's viewpoint, they're more favorable. They're more elevated. The Lord is willing to even approach them and give them some time, give them His precious, valuable time and His precious Amrit Vachan, Upadesh Amritam, and even eat their food from their hands. But an impersonalist, he wouldn't listen to them, he wouldn't look at them, he wouldn't take any food, wouldn't spend any time with them. Blasphemers, or at least let's say blasphemers. So it says here, realizing that the conception of the Vedantists, who are averse to the Vaishnavas, is completely opposed to bhakti, Mahaprabhu refutes it. And he displays compassion on the weak, the womanizers, and the drunkards, according to their respective qualifications. Nyasihaya madhyepye sri sangha achari tarapita koragela tahara madhire. Although this Dari Sannyasi drank wine and intimately associated with women, the Lord visited his house. People who enjoy others' wives and drink wine are not accepted as pious in this world. No one goes to the house of a sinful person to associate with him. Sri Gaura Nityananda bestowed mercy on even this Dari Sannyasi to reveal that in a comparison of various kinds of association, the association of Mayavadis is more abominable and undesirable than the association of drunkards. But they revealed that the association of the Mayavadi Vedantists of Kashi was even more undesirable. The licentious drunkards are only sinful, but the Mayavadis are envious of the Supreme Lord and his devotees, and therefore they are eternally offenders. Sins are exhaustible, but imperishable sins, like spiritual suicide resulting from offense, do not allow one to give up his false identification. So ordinary sins, drinking, illicit sex, they can be exhausted and burned up and atoned for and removed. But the sin of aparad is imperishable. It's like suicide. As a result of offenses, the eternal good fortune and supreme auspiciousness of living entities are destroyed forever. When piety is accumulated, sinful reactions are destroyed. But the result of offenses is more inauspicious than sin in all respects. There's some prayers by Ramanujacharya. He tells his disciples. He said, if you're in a forest fire, and you're about to be burned up in the forest fire, but there's a Mayavadi temple nearby, and you take shelter, he said, better you burn up in the fire. If you're being pursued by a tiger, in those days, old days, 1,200 years ago in South India, so many jungles, there are lots of tigers in India. The British hadn't come here and snatched them up, poached them all up. No, nobody was having wholesale hunting on tigers. The British would go and they would kill 1,000 tigers a year. I mean, they went wild on the tigers to get the trophy. Have a tiger's head in your living room, and rug and all that stuff. So the population of tigers went during the British time went down to about 10. You know, there's very few tigers. But Ramanuja's time, there was hundreds, thousands of tigers. It was very common. Everybody knew about tigers. In fact, I had one friend of mine. He was from Secunderabad or somewhere in part of Orissa. And he was just telling me the other day, he said that when I used to go to school, they'd leave their house, they had to walk through a forest, and there were tigers there in the forest. I said, and you would just walk through the forest? He said, yeah, they don't, you know, as long as they have their forest, they're not actually man-eaters. But if they run out of food in their forest and they eat an animal, once a tiger eats an animal, once a tiger eats a human being, he gets a taste, the higher taste cookbook, the higher taste cookbook, and then he gets like a little wild, like a drug addict. Once he gets a hit of heroin, then he can't live without it. So then they start eating up humans here and there. Then they get shot or whatever. I couldn't believe it. I said, every day, he said, yeah, we just walk through like you see a dog or something. They're sitting there playing with their kittens. And because you grow up with it, and your father, you go with your father and say, Dad, there's a tiger. Hey, it won't bother you. It's like a monkey or something. So Ramanuja said, if a tiger is pursuing you in the jungle and you see that nearby there's a Mayavadi temple, but you see some Trishun or Shiva temple or whatever, he says Shiva temple, you should rather get eaten by the tiger than take shelter there. I was actually saying Shiva temple, because Vaishnavas and Shaivites are kind of like arch enemies, especially in South India. They even go to war sometimes and kill each other. Because a king would be, it'd be a Vaishnav kingdom, and everybody would be a Vaishnav, and the king would make so many Vaishnav temples, and then the king would get converted sometimes to Shaivism. Because he would have difficulty with some enemy, then he'd meet some tantric. And the tantric would give him some power or some ability, some tantric power, then he would go and defeat that enemy and get lots of gold and become wealthy. And they'd say, well, how can I repay you? You should become Shaivite. I make Shaivite the national religion for your country. And he would say, yes. It was like his guru. He got a Shaivite guru. This is a national religion for my state. Anyone who's not Shaivite gets killed. So there'd be war. It's going on in South India. South India, the biggest problem was Shaivites and Vaishnavites fighting. In North India, it was the Muslims. Because Muslims didn't do much down there. North India, everybody was being, all the Hindus were being harassed by the Muslims and subjugated and turned into Muslims. Sprinkled water on them, whatnot. So this is a very nice point here. Vakya vakya kaila prabhu shikaila dharma vishrama kariya kaila bhojanera karma. In the course of their conversation, Mahaprabhu taught the Dari Sannyasi religious principles. He took rest in his house and he ate there. So he took service from him. Nahaya e janme bhala haiva ara janme Sabi nindakarinai vase bala marme. Even if the sannyasi could not attain perfection in this life, he would certainly in the next. But the blasphemers will never achieve perfection. It's amazing how this theme of blasphemy is so much prevalent in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Because we've been giving Chaitanya Bhagavat classes pretty steadily for the last couple of years. I mean, here and there, at least a few classes a month or whatever. One month when Mayapur, I was there every day. And it comes up all the time. Almost every chapter, every other chapter, blaspheme, this one, different varieties and arrangements, but it ends up blaspheming Miniketan Ram Das and Krishna's Kaviraj and Devananda Pandit and this Jagai Madai and Madai blaspheming and now it's Siddhari Sannyasi. And so it's showing how it doesn't matter what varna you're in, you have to be careful of whether you may be a sannyasi or you may be a brahmin or you may be a shudra, what varna, what ashram you're in, whether you're a Shaivite or a Vaishnava, or whether you're a drunk or whether you're a pundit, Devananda Pandit, he's a brahmin, high class brahmin, Devananda Pandit lecturing on Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Pandit with thousands of people, maybe Bhagavat Sapta, thousands of people in the audience every day hearing a Sapta, so illustrious, so self-controlled, detached, learned. But he blasphemed Shivas Pandit. He's had him thrown out of the assembly because he was crying when he heard some of the verses, and disciples got disturbed. Ah, you're crying and disturbing our guru's delivery. Out. Threw him out. And he was in Prema Vesh. Didn't know what he was doing. He was absorbed in the Bhagavad Gita. So you can be from that high position of illustrious Bhagavad Pracharak, Devananda Pandit, or you can be a Dari Sannyasi, so-called Boga Sannyasi, with women and wine and wealth, committing all sins. Still, if you make offense, then everything's lost. So see, he's really showing you have to be careful, no matter whether how high you are or how low you are. If you're a human being, in any varna or any ashram, you have to be very, very careful about offenses to the Lord and His devotees. It's a repeated theme, and this is Srila Vedavyas. Vedavyas was here 5,000 years ago and delivered the message of Krishna consciousness, and that we don't find so many stories about aparad. There's some, of course, Sravasa Muni and Ambarish, and there's some classic stories. Chitraketu and Shiva. But there's a couple, a few handful here and there. Well, let's say Hiranyakashipu's offense to his son, trying to kill a Vaishnava. There's six types of Vaishnava aparad, and one of them is to kill a Vaishnava. That's in the list. It's to kill a Vaishnava. So Prahlad was certainly a Vaishnava. And Hiranyakashipu tried to kill him in so many ways. That's Vaishnava aparad. So he's a Saru Ninda. He's a Vaishnava Ninda. Nindak. But in the same Vedavyas comes to record Gaura-lila and also distribute Krishna consciousness, there's seems like hundreds of mentions and stories and warnings. Hundreds of stories and warnings about aparad. Bhagavan aparad or Vaishnava aparad or Nama aparad, whatever. So it appears that 5,000 years ago this wasn't such a problem. And lots of problems, and demons and Mayavadis and Shaivites and power-hungry and greedy politicians and Rakshasas, etc. But this all-pervasive tendency to backbite and fault-find and make offenses was not so developed as it is now. It's become honed down to a fine art in this after 5,000 years. So when Vedavyas again came, he said, listen, what's a major theme here I should deliver to the people through this means of this Chaitanya Bhagavat? What do they need to hear most? What do they need to hear repeatedly? And he's choosing the theme of aparad, Vaishnav Ninda, Bhagavan Ninda. So I hear it when we're reading it, I hear it so much, I start to think, wow, you think you're clean and you took a bath and you're clean and you feel that you're pretty clean, and then someone comes along and says, look, you know, you're so dirty. No, I'm not. And then he finds all funny places in your body where dirt is hiding, you know, behind your ear, or, you know, under your sika, or under your fingernail or somewhere. He said, now look at all this. Look, you saw this dirt? So much dirt I've collected. Ah, oh, Reva, those are such secret places. And it goes deep inside your ear holes and comes out with a bunch of wax and stuff. And look at all this. Oh, gee, I didn't know about that earwax. It's quite a stash you've collected there. So we think as devotees or we're somewhat fixed down or fixed up, or you know, if you're fixed up, you can be fixed down, I guess, also. Well, he's really fixed down. I mean, fixed up. He's really steady. And then when we take a closer analysis, it seems that Vrindavan Das Thakur is making us look deep within ourselves, within ourselves, within ourselves. Kind of a Mother Yashoda cross-examination program. It's called the Mother Yashoda cross-examination program. In legal terms, it's called cross-examination when the lawyer asks you counter-questions and cross-examines the witness on the witness stand. So when Yashoda looked in Krishna's mouth in Brahmandagat to confirm whether he'd been eating mitti ladus, clay ladus, then inside his mouth she saw the universe. And then in that universe she saw earth planet. In that earth planet she saw Krishna and Yamuna. And she saw Mother Yashoda. And she saw Yashoda looking at Krishna's mouth. And in that mouth she saw another universe. And it was just went on and on. It was hundreds of universes, hundreds of Yashodas. So this is the Yashoda cross-examination program. If we examine ourselves and look within ourselves and see ourselves, and then look within that self and see that self, and look within that self and see that self, and keep looking, and you say, oh, look, there is a lot of dirt here. There is a lot of tendency to be an offender to devotees and offender to Bhagavan. Actually, I'm not clean. I'm not transparent. I'm not pure. So Vrindavan Das, you're reminding me of this. You're showing me this. You go in these fun parks and they have these mirrors. There's curved or bent in a certain way. They refract the light in a certain way. There's mirrors stacked upon mirrors or something. And the light is refracted in such a way. When you look in the mirror, you see like 50. It's more than a yogi. You see like 10 or 20. It depends on what kind of mirror it is. You see 50 images of yourself. Each one behind the other one, smaller and smaller. Or you go to the well and you lean over the well. Haribo, Haribo, Haribo. Or in a cave. So there seems that he's teaching us here that blasphemers never achieve perfection. Sabai ninda keri nahi vase balamarme. Dekanai paya jata abhakta sannyasi. Tarasakshi yateka sannyasi kashi vasi. That is why non-devotee sannyasis cannot see the Lord. The sannyasis of Kashi are evidence of this.